You're listening to Kapow, the pop culture podcast. Comics, television, movies, and more. If it impacts fan culture, we have something to say about it. And now, your hosts, Jordan, Cliff, and Seth.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Kapow, the Pop Culture Podcast. It's nice to see you. My name is Jordan Lowe.
I'm Cliff Barnes. I should say, and I'm Cliff Barnes.
Now's your chance.
I can do it tonight, because there's no Seth. I think we have, what have we done? We've done this once before, just to make, I think the two of us on here. And
probably.
Spit out an episode or two, so... A little different dynamic.
We'll try to muddle through without the poobah. So, how are you doing?
I am above water. That's the important thing.
Yes. Marietta is dealing with some flooding this week and the weekend. Luckily, it avoided my shop on 3rd Street, but there's a lot of other stores that weren't so lucky.
Yeah, yeah. So, this is the biggest flood we've had in just about 20 years, at least since January of 2005. We had a big one in September 2004. Jordan and I were just talking about before we started recording here, and it hit us again in January 2005. Was almost as bad. So the Ohio River is about. I think it crested about 40 feet and 40.5 or somewhere around that. 2004, I think, was about 45 feet, if I remember correctly. So not as bad, but still pretty devastating to anybody that got hit by it. So, which sucks. So,
lovely historic city, but that is one issue we periodically have to deal with.
Yeah, so Marietta sits at the where two rivers come together, and certainly have our fair share of creeks and such. On top of that, that kind of run through it, and so every once in a while these things happen. But you know, it's been like 200 years or 230 years or whatever. You know, downtown Marietta's still standing, so. One more, I guess, isn't going to take it out quite yet.
Well, don't speak too soon. We've had eclipses. We're going to have eclipses. And
I feel like it's not just an
earthquake today in New York.
Yeah. So, but never fail. We're here. Might as well record an episode and get something out there. And I don't know. We haven't done very many regular episodes here lately. We've been traveling around and we've been doing movies and stuff. So last weekend, I mentioned our last episode, I was getting ready to head on over to the Great Ohio Toy Show. And last weekend, went Saturday, day before Easter. Alicia and I went over to that. Again, I've talked about it before, but this is one of the biggest shows in the country. It takes over the entire Greene County Fairgrounds, all seven buildings, over 700 tables. So much fun. I have such a good time at these toy shows. And this one is just so massive.
Did you see more than your first trip there or less?
I think I saw less. simply because there were so many more people. It was a massive influx of people. I mean, there were a lot of people there last fall when we went. This year, the weather was bad. It was raining in the morning. We had to stand out in this huge line to even pay the admission to get into the damn thing. We had to park even further away than we did last time. And actually parked over not even at the fairgrounds, but like there's a church. It would be the closest thing to the fairgrounds. And we had to park at this church lot because the fairgrounds were completely full. And we got there at 9 a.m. when it opened. So,
I'm becoming more and more of a proponent of just go on Sundays. Any event like this.
Yeah.
Forget Saturday. Saturdays are for anything I've gone to lately. Saturdays have become just too much.
I would normally absolutely agree. The only problem is this was a 1 day event.
Oh, okay.
It's a 1 day. And Sunday was Easter Sunday, so obviously
you would have the place to yourself,
right? So just me and the bunny. Yeah, it was a bit overcrowded, especially in the morning. They had let like early birders in who I think they paid maybe like twice the admission to go in an hour early or whatever. Which didn't help my situation, but anyways, yeah, we got in there and a lot of the same vendors I noticed from last fall, which was fine because they're all great. The selection is overwhelming. Like there's just so much stuff I have trouble focusing on anything because it's just every inch of space is just something awesome that you want to look at. And touch and
feel. I don't know how you came home without that Archie Bunker baby doll.
I know, seriously, man. Archie Bunker's grandson. And the whole place is full of weird stuff like that. I mean, it's just not the... I would say there's more weird stuff or more very rare stuff than there is what you would expect. You know, just Star Wars and He-Man and stuff everybody had. It's wild. And so anyways, yeah, massive amount of people. We had it was hard to even get near the vendor tables to actually stop and look and interact with the person at the table, which was frustrating to me. I was having a great time, but I was just like, man, if there were just less people here, I would be having the best time.
Did you get to meet your YouTube celebrities you were looking for?
I definitely did. Nice. And more, because I do, especially in the last year or so, we've talked about and kid around about, you know, Pixel Dan. I met him a couple times at PowerCon and stuff. But at this event, Pixel Dan was there. He was working a booth for somebody. And then just walking around, there's a huge channel with a huge following, YouTube channel. The channel is called Froggy Flips. The guy's name is Anthony. The last couple years, he's out in Indiana. He literally was just started his channel by wearing a GoPro going to yard sales. Wasn't a huge collector, just kind of started doing it more and more and more, and his channel blew up. People watching him find this stuff, and then of course it's developed and evolved and to where he has this massive collection. He's selling stuff now, has his own website, but he's very, very popular. Our buddy Russ, him and I both watch that channel and talk about it all the time. So I had confirmation that from their Facebook page that he was going to be at the show, and I'd never met him. So we were excited about that, hoping we could run into him. And we did, actually, very early on in the morning. We caught him not even in a building. He was coming out of a building as we were, I think, trying to go in that building. And anyways, a few people were stopping him. So we stopped and said hi. We took a selfie, my wife and I, with him. And he was a super nice guy. So we met him. We saw Ed from Ed's Retro Geek Out channel. He was walking around with Justice Curry, another YouTuber. So they were all over the place. But they were all super nice, filming content, interacting with viewers and toy fans and stuff. Talked to Pixel Dan for a little bit. Bought his book. I made a TikTok and last week and showed the book here. It's the Toys of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. It's 752 pages, I think. And he was nice enough. He signed it for me on the inside cover, and we had a big long conversation. And I told him, I was like, man, I've looked at that book three times. Today's today's going to be the day that I finally pull the trigger. So he was super excited, of course.
And then you had to carry it around, that big monster hardcover.
I did. I waited towards the end of the day. I was like, I'm thing weighs 20 pounds. I'm not carrying.
You got Archie Bunker's grandkid under one arm and a 700-page hardcover under the other.
Exactly. Exactly. So, no, I was pretty happy. I didn't come home with a big haul, but I pretty much got what I was looking for. Star Wars wise, I'm still working on that vintage collection, and I'm kind of to the point where things are, what I don't have are things that are very expensive. So, but one of those things was I didn't have a Max Rebo band from Return of the Jedi, the three, you know, Snice Snoodles and Max Rebo and, oh gosh, whatever the other guy's, the flute player, whatever his name is, that I'll think of as soon as we stop this. But, I was having trouble finding, like, I wanted it loose. I wanted a loose one, not in a box. And Droopy McCool, that's his name. Just came in my brain, but I wanted to get that to kind of display with the Jabba the Hutt playset that I have. Never had it as a kid, so I was like, that would be awesome. I don't want it in a box. Just I want to be able to display it, the figures themselves. So I found one actually at a booth for a Blast from the Past Toys or something like that. I bought a bunch of stuff off of him last year. I bought that Ramba Ewok, the last figure I needed. I bought it off the same guy. So he had one loose set and he had complete. And then he had some loose individual, the figures priced. But Max Rebo didn't have the keyboard, the round piano keyboard thing. So anyways, I looked at it and I was like, it was like, he had it marked like $210. I was like, man, I don't want to pay $210. I want to look around a little bit. So I did, I looked around pretty much all the other buildings and did not find one that was not in a box. And I was like, well, I told Alicia, I was like, I don't want to pay that much for it, but I'm going to go, if I have to pay that much, I will. But maybe he'll give me a deal or something. So I went back to the table and the damn thing was gone. And I was like, man, did you sell that? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I'm sorry. He's like, that's the way it works sometimes. I was like, eh, it's my fault for waiting too long. So, what I ended up doing was he had some nice individual loose figures. They were priced very reasonably. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get the figures. That'll give me a start. I can work on the accessories and stuff later. So I bought those and I ended up buying the Leia Bounty Hunter Boosh or Bausch, however you say it, complete figure, because I did not have that. Always had it as a kid, but didn't have it anymore. So I wanted that. Found a really nice one. He gave me a deal on all of it. Really good price on the whole thing. Threw in a indoor poncho for my Leia figure, so I'm working on that too. But anyways, that's very uninteresting if you're not into toys. Anyways, I was like, well, you know, Columbus Vintage Toys had, their booth had a Max Rebo. No accessories, but it had the figures and Max had the piano. But I went and looked at it before this, and the Max Rebo figure, the head was broken, like snapped off. And I was like, so I was like, well, I'm not buying that. So anyway, I thought, well, what, maybe he'll sell the piano part, the keyboard part, separately since the figures broke. So I went over and I was like, hey man, you know, and I talked to them and they acted like they didn't know the head was broken. Maybe they didn't. Maybe somebody had walked over there and broke the damn thing or knocked it off the shelf and broke it and, you know, put it back or whatever. I don't know. But anyways, they talked for a minute and he was like, yeah, we'll get, if you want it, we'll sell it. I was like, well, give me a price. And he's like, $50. So I was like, I don't know if I want to pay $50 for it because I'm cheap. So I hopped on eBay real quick, looked it up, looked under sold items to see how much they had sold for lately. And they were all $50 to $60. So I was like, fine. So I got everything but the microphones right now, but I think I'm just going to just going to purchase those. Go ahead and do it to complete the set. So, but the figures are, they look so cool. They're in great shape and the piano was perfect. So it worked out in the end. I paid less money than I would have for the 210, of course, but I do still have to get a couple accessories. So yeah, that's kind of what I came home with, but man, it was super fun. I mean, it's a great atmosphere, even with that many people. I kind of got, you ever been to one of those shows where you can tell the half the people are just kind of there? They don't know anything about comics or toys or
shows. They just saw something was happening and were like, yeah, let's go check
that. Yeah, this is happening in my town. We need something to do. And it costs $5 to get in, basically. So there were a ton of those people. That just
the guy ahead of me in line to meet Peter Cullen, who didn't have money or anything to get signed and just wanted to hang out and talk.
Right. Exactly. It was very much a whole crowd of those people. And they like weren't even looking at the stuff. They would just stop and just congregate right in the middle aisles, which was very aggravating. So I could have done without that, but man, it's such a great show. And it really like, it impresses me every time. Just the amazing selection you can find. Bootlegs, foreign bootlegs. You know, I saw the metal moldings. I saw the metal plates they used to paint like Motu figures and stuff, you know, way back in the day. The originals. I don't even know how you get your hands on that stuff, but somehow these guys do. And yeah, just amazing selection. Things, everything from stuff from the 50s I saw on up. Tons of 70s, 80s, and 90s toys. Everything, every line you could ever imagine. I actually saw something I had not seen and since I was a little kid. Like, I had forgot they existed. I'm checking out a booth, walking along, just, you know, browsing around, and I look down and I see on card these little, they were bath toys for little kids, and they were called Lil Loggers, L-I-L Loggers, and they were like lumberjacks.
And then like, they spit water out of their mouth?
Yes!
Yes! I had those.
I had one too.
They're little squeezy, like had squeezy bodies. That
they had a little animal that squeezed, you know, every the figures did. Like they had a soft head and then they had a little animal buddy too, that went along with them. So it was like a
beaver.
Yeah, it was. Yes, totally. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It was a little foam log that had two little circles cut out for the figures to ride in. So it was like, you know, they were like a log. It was like Splash Mountain, you know, it was a log flume ride. So I saw somebody have some of those on card, and I was just like, I mean, you want to talk about a nostalgia trip. I was like, oh my God, I completely forgot those ever existed. So
I got to go home and take a bat.
Yeah, seriously. It was amazing. So I think he had $75 on him. I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, are you kidding me? But holy cow, talk about something that, you know, nobody... I thought for sure nobody would remember, but apparently I'm wrong. But but yeah, it's amazing little toys. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this show has everything.
That's twice a year they do it.
Twice a year they do it. They do it, I think, in the third week of October, maybe. Right around Halloween. And then they do it right before Halloween. And then they do it, again, like the March, April-ish again. I think it's the end of March typically. But twice a year he's had it. It's not a very old show. I mean, he just started it a few years ago. The guy that runs it has, in Xenia, Ohio, he has a retro toy shop. It's called like Route 68 Toys or something to that effect. And it's a really neat shop. I've watched a ton of videos, people going in there and shopping and all the crap he's got. And I saw him. I saw a few other people channels I watch that aren't big, huge channels outside of, you know, maybe toy collectors, that type of thing. But man, everybody's just so friendly and happy to be there. I dragged my wife in there and then she says she has a good time looking at all the stuff. I don't know. I think she mostly gives for me, but man, I just love it. It's amazing. And it's hard to go to a show of that caliber and then go to a small, you know, local or whatever show. And it's just like, you know, which is still great. It still scratches an itch, but it's just like, oh my gosh, Xenia is so amazing. So,
and I'm sure you could go twice a year and not, you know, the tables won't have the same stuff. Like it'll be all right. New inventory of, you know.
Yeah, the amount of cash people I see laying down is just astounding. You know, we're not talking about toys that we're paying 75 cents for. They're laying down a grand here, a couple grand there. I mean, these guys a lot of them are big collectors, and they are deep into it, you know. They're making trades and stuff. It's amazing.
But that's got to be more satisfying than eBay or Craigslist or whatever, like actually being able to go look at it and talk to the people.
I think that's part of the appeal. I really do. And, you know, comics, I think, are kind of the same way. Like, I'd much rather go to a show, maybe overpay a little bit, but have an experience out of it, know where I got it or who it came from, at least before it touched my hands. Rather than just a blind purchase online sometimes. So pretty neat. I highly recommend it to anybody. If you're in, you know, people come from all over, but if you're in Ohio, even like us on the way on the other side of the state, it's a 2-hour and 45-minute drive for me. But if you're in Indiana or Kentucky or Cincinnati or wherever, man, if you like retro toys, man, this is the place.
My next show will be Space in Columbus at the end of April. Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. We got a table for SoPro Comics up there. We did that show a long time ago when we were first starting out. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of the people are literally, you know, it's just Xerox copies that, you know, holding half and staple. Like, it is super indie. It is super like do it yourself. Like, it's a cool vibe for a show. And we had done it before we were even SoPro Comics, and we just hadn't gotten back to it in a while. I wanted to go this year because we haven't done it in a while. So I'm looking forward to that and seeing all the, you know, the people of the Columbus and the Ohio area. It's a good networking show, you know, talk to other creators.
Because we're not that far from Columbus. I mean, really. I mean, I understand. It's a couple hours, but I mean, in the big picture, we're not that far from Columbus. So, yeah, that's cool. I like it. Revisiting, are you doing anything new in particular for that show like you do for Mothman? Or?
Insecticid number 4 should be done. We should have time to. The Kickstarter for that one just ended, and we should have time to. As long as the printer gets it back to us in a timely manner, we should be able to debut that thing.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't have any other shows right on the horizon at the moment. There are a lot of those toy shows happening in our general area. I know Marysville is, they have one coming up. I think Canton and Akron was maybe this weekend. So they're out there. They're happening. And, if you're ignoring it, I feel like you're missing out. Like, I was never a big show guy. I went to, you know, I'd go to your local show here and one or, you know, two or in the immediate area. And this last couple of years, as we've started going and doing more of this stuff, it's been a lot of fun. I've got a lot of cool stuff now.
Yeah, it's never been easier to just point and click something from your computer and have it shipped to your house. Like, it's never been easier to find stuff or to fill a hole in a collection, but I've always felt something impersonal about that. Like, if I have a want list of books, you know, it's better for me. I enjoy it more, you know, when I stumble upon them or I go track them down somewhere.
Yeah, it's the hunt. That's why we love collecting. It's the hunt of the whole deal. And yeah, that's half the fun. Not just having it, it's finding it, you know, seeking it out. I love it.
And like you said, then that attaches a memory to it of, you know, something you did, someplace you went, and who you were with, and all that yeah. good stuff.
Experiences. So, yeah.
All right.
Lots of exciting things happening here.
Save Martha!
Puny God.
I'm just a kid from Brooklyn. I'm Batman.
Kneel before Zod!
Under Ruth!
Said it yourself, bitch. We're the guardians of the galaxy.
So what's it gonna be, huh? Long sullen silence or mean comment? Go on.
You got me in a box here.
So yeah, this episode will just be kind of catching up on a few things. I wanted to start with movies. We didn't get to talk about the Oscars, which feels like it was
forever a year ago. But
I just wanted to, because we complain, not a lot. We're not a complainy type show. We try to see the positive things, but Seth and I especially have complained about award shows, you know, in the recent past and how, you know, when they're not good. But this year's Oscars was really good, so I wanted to make sure I pointed out that they fixed a lot of the things that we complain about. I'm not saying we had an impact on it. There's no real way to know that. But it was really good. Jimmy Kimmel was the host, and he didn't make it all about himself. He did a little monologue, but yeah. he didn't try to, you know, take over the whole proceeding. So, a couple funny bits they did. You probably saw the John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
They made a joke about it was the anniversary of the streaker, the famous streaker at the Oscars in the 70s, and they were going to get John Cena to do it again, but he was shy. So like that, and it was actually a funny bit. So yeah. like so many of the comedy bits that these shows just ball, or they're just. The people don't seem real game to even do them. Not good.
It's a struggle for them to get through it. Yeah.
But this year's was good. And they also, they didn't play anybody off. Like sometimes the music would kick up, but I want to hear what the people had to say. Let them talk. But, you know, there wasn't any egregious, shortening of the speeches. And they actually like showed clips and talked about the performances. They had five former winners come out and introduce each person and say, oh, and this actor in this role, you know, did a great, you know, they gave him a little pat on the back. It was like, yeah, I want to see that celebrated.
Right.
You know, often they put so much extraneous stuff like, and here's the nominees and there's the winner. And like, you don't wait, what even movie were they nominated for? So like they slowed down a little bit and like, you know, gave everyone a moment.
Yeah.
Whether you won or lost. So it was a really well produced Oscars this year. Although there weren't a ton of surprises. So just real quick, best original screenplay went to Anatomy of a Fall, a foreign film. Best adapted screenplay to American Fiction. Best international film, The Zone of Interest, which I saw just came out on HBO Max. Best animated film, The Boy and the Heron, the Japanese film from Miyazaki. Best original song, no surprise, What Was I Made For from Barbie Eilish. And best visual effects, Godzilla Minus One. A lot of people psyched about that. People love that Godzilla movie. Best supporting actress, Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. And then everything else went to Poor Things and Oppenheimer.
Right.
So Poor Things was best makeup and hair, best costume, best production design, and Emma Stone for best actress. And then Oppenheimer was best editing, best cinematography, score, Robert Downey Jr. as supporting actor, Cillian Murphy as actor, Nolan as the director, and best picture. So most of the biggest awards all went to Oppenheimer. And
yeah.
Not a huge upset, but.
In our house here, we were definitely, I knew we were going to be disappointed because Barbie was the movie of the year for us. It was the experience of the year for us, and the writing was on the wall. I felt like, you know, it was obviously going to be snubbed for pretty much everything except maybe song. So I was happy to see the song won, but Ryan Gosling's performance made the night for me. Like, it was, that was the best thing I've seen in on the Oscars in a positive way for a long time. And it was just amazing. It was amazingly thought out, not just performed, but the basing it on the Marilyn Monroe famous performance.
He put a lot of work into that.
He really did. He really did. And so good on him, because I just thought it was amazing. That was my only thing, was I was like, you know, I know Oppenheimer's probably going to win most of this stuff, but it sure would be nice to see Barbie win a little something more. But
they'll have to console themselves with making the most money of any movie.
I mean, if you can, I don't know. So yeah, it's a good show. Good show.
Did you see any movies lately?
Not much. Mostly what I've been watching is going to be TV, but I did just the other night sat down and watched Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom, the second one. Hadn't seen it. Surprisingly, I hadn't seen it yet. And it's on HBO for streaming right now. And so it was like 10 o'clock at night, and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to do it. Bit longer than I expected, but yeah, not great. Ho-hum at best. There were things... I knew I was going to be disappointed in the plot and the storyline.
You really enjoyed the first one. As most,
I did.
Know, a lot of people did.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just, it felt mostly like, I think I said it felt like a recycled Captain Planet plot, that cartoon from the 90s. But I mean, there was stuff. I think Black Manta is super cool. I loved his henchmen and his sub, and that just all felt very comic booky, old comic booky, and I thought that was amazing. He should have been the main bad guy. Mm-hmm. Other than that, yeah, I mean, the costume still looks cool to me, even though it's Jason Momoa. I would have chose somebody else, but whatever. That we're way past that. But I was glad they didn't change it for the entire movie, that was his main costume, the traditional look, as it, I feel it should be. Had Storm the Seahorse, which was, such a throwback, fun, super Friends thing for me. So I liked all of that stuff, but yeah, it just didn't have the courage to do the story I thought it should tell. And I knew I had all this hope, but I knew when there wasn't a bunch of backlash about how dare you do that, or, you know, I was like, no hook hand. I don't know if I'm feeling it.
we needed a third movie to get to the hook hand. We're never going to get it.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. So yeah.
Yeah. It just, to me, it felt like a lot of cliches of that. Oh, an ancient prophecy, and the king must wield the trident, and all. Yeah, it just felt very, every fantasy movie, every sci-fi movie, like, you know, the villain. Yeah, whatever.
It kind of, all the Snyder films, you know, the DC films kind of all had plots that way. It was just like, I don't know. It's not my favorite. Felt like there were better things they could have used, so.
And again, they were a little bit hamstrung, being like, oh, here's the last movie of this whole iteration of films. It's not going, you can't set up anything. Mm-mm. You can't, you know, all you got to do is just kind of pay it off what you can. And then
your entire audience already knows this is the end. Yeah. So, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but. Yeah, it's not something I'll probably revisit in the future.
The only movie news I had was the big news just dropped. We got a Silver Surfer for the Fantastic Four movie, and it's Julia Garner. You might know from Ozarks.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, she was in The Americans. I think she's won Emmys. She's a very good actress.
Yeah.
Just one flaw. She's a lady.
Oh.
People don't like a lady Silver
Surfer. Odin don't like a lady Silver Surfer. We all know that.
So the hyperbole has already begun. That this is the end of the MCU. Throw it in the dirt. It's over. I think she's a great actress. And they said she's playing Shala Ball, who is the wife of the original Silver Surfer. So it's some other, you know.
Yeah.
That's some okay. Other. We're going to gender swap the character. But she's playing an established Marvel character. But whatever.
Yeah, I still feel like this movie's can be great. I really do. I love the 60s vibe, and we've talked about, yeah, it's been done, okay, sure, but not in this universe it hasn't, so I don't know. I think it'll still be cool. I like the cast. I still have a lot, you know, they keep pushing out these retro posters. We got the 4-4 on April the 4th. We got the Human Torch throwback poster, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like it. I'm here for it.
And she might be in 5 minutes of the movie. Yeah, we have no idea.
Could be a total afterthought. What the plot is. Yeah, could be. So, I mean, honestly, can it be much worse than the Silver Surfer they did in the second Fantastic Four movie? I mean, do we really think it's going to be worse than that?
I have been having a thought to go back and rewatch all that stuff before Deadpool comes up. To watch all the pre-MCU movies.
Yeah.
Daredevil, Elektra, the Punisher movie. Like, part of me wants to, spend this summer rewatching all that old stuff, because I have not revisited it in a long time. So I don't know. If I can't talk myself out of it, that may be my next movie project.
I like that. I also think they might be banking on that part of it. Like, oh, everybody, it's been so long, everybody will just have nostalgia for it. They won't really care that they were, you know, the best movies at this point. So we're bringing back their childhood. And I get that, sure. You know. But.
All right. Speaking of bringing back childhood, let's go to TV. Oh.
You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Marsha!
Fucking Mike, yo.
What's up, man? Yo. Yo, son, come on. Yo, Romo's coming, man.
I'm Prison Mike. You know why they call me Prison Mike?
Beavis, please sit down.
Are you threatening me? I am Cornholio.
First sign a youngster's going wrong, you got to nip it in the bud. Nip it.
And I'm sitting there with Woody, and I turn to him and I go, boy, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Picture it, Sicily, 1939.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Won't you please, please won't you be my neighbor? Hey, neighbor.
Good afternoon, everybody. No!
X-Men 97 has debuted on Disney Plus.
Oh,
were you an X-Men guy? Were you a Fox Kids viewer back then?
I was. I enjoyed the original series very much when it was on. So yeah. I mean, I just thought it was a cool cartoon. I was a little bit older. I was more the G.I. Joe, Transformers, He-Man, you know, age, but when this was a better cartoon that came out, you know, I think I was in junior high, but it was on after school. So yeah, I totally watched it and thought it was really good. And for that time period, the storylines were very, you know, comic centric and they didn't treat kids like idiots or, you know, it wasn't just silliness on your TV, so that was pretty cool.
I would've been 12-ish when it debuted, so
yeah,
13, 14 as it's going on. And I was curious about this new iteration. I hadn't watched the old stuff since then. I never went back and rewatched it. I definitely had nostalgia for it. Saw the trailer, thought, oh, this could be pretty good. Then I watched it, and it hit me so hard.
Yeah.
like a wave hit me of like, holy crap. And it just made me think, like, that show, without exaggeration, was the most significant TV show of my life.
Mm.
That show in the early 90s, I was a baseball card collector.
Yeah.
I had comics. I read comics. But that show made me want comics. Made me, like, I want to buy more comics. And literally has impacted the rest of my life. It, like, my career, my entire life reading comics, like, could be traced back to that show getting me so into the X-Men that I was like, I need more of this. I need to go to the store and find more of this stuff. So, I don't know, something hit me of like, wow, that show literally set the course of my life. And without any exaggeration, like, wow, that's crazy.
That makes sense.
To just revisit it now as a middle-aged man, being like, wow, okay.
This is where it all started. And yeah, here I am back at it.
So yeah, I had some kind of reaction to it. So we've said things before, like I don't have a way of judging it objectively, whether it's a good show or a bad show, but I liked it. I think it was really well made.
Yeah.
The voices were familiar, even, you know, I'm sure there's some that didn't reprise their roles or whatever, but everything just felt like it was transported right from the 90s to today.
Yeah, I mean, nostalgia is going to be, you know, depending on the individual person, but I mean, I thought the show was great. It felt very, very from its time, but yet so relevant in today's world. I mean, that first episode, I'm like, oh yeah, there's the January 6th people, you know. We're fighting them. Like, I don't know. It just felt very relevant still today. And the storylines they picked up and good, you know, and yet it's coming from the comics, you know, Magneto's there in his new outfit from back then. And I just,
yeah, it definitely has the winks and nods. Like the trial of Magneto with him in chains was taken directly from a cover. Yeah. The wedding photo of Scott and Jean was taken from X-Men 30. Like, that was the exact cover from there. We had Madeline Pryor and Inferno, Mojo. Like, yeah, they're just bringing very specific plot points back. Although, my two least favorite villains in all comics are Mojo and Mr. Sinister. I've always thought they were super lame, and those have been the first two villains they've had on this show. And it's like, I'm still liking it, even though I do not like these characters.
Right, right. Which says something, you know. There's something, you know, something to be said for that. So, yeah, I just think it's great. I love that they did it. I was super worried because right before it debuted, there it came on, you know, the showrunner or creator of the new one that had left or was fired or something or other, whatever happened. I was like, oh God, this is not going to be good. We're going to be in for a huge disappointment, and all the fanboys are going to be so pissed. Because it's not good, and they had such high expectations. But no, I think it's been absolutely great. I love, you know, having the traditional theme come on there, just updating it. You know, they didn't change much. They just updated a little bit. And things that didn't make sense have been corrected. And, yeah, super, super, super worth the time. I'm loving it.
And, like, again, fairly kid-friendly, but also kind of complex. Like, the original cartoon was complex. It had like plot lines that lasted for a long time. So like this most recent episode we saw was, you know, silly Jubilee gets trapped in a video game, but then the second part was Storm and Forge adapting the life death story, and it's like, it was very powerful of like someone who had something and had lost it, and like Forge's history of like what had, you know, had he sacrificed his you know, integrity. You know, it was like, wow, this felt like a soap opera or something, you know, which, again, the X-Men comics were very soap opera-y for a long time.
Yeah, that's just I love cartoons and animation and all that stuff, obviously, but, man, we've been getting some really good cartoons back, riding that wave of nostalgia, sure, but man, I mean, there's really good stuff out there today that I feel like is the, you know, the people that originally watched it, we've, you know, rediscovered it, but I kind of wish more of the younger people, because I don't, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I just haven't been around the right younger people, but I kind of wish they would discover it a little bit more and really get into it. Because just as a person that grew up on G.I. Joe, Life Lessons, and He-Man, you know, at the end of every episode, they're going to explain to the lesson to you. So, as somebody that grew up on Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street, you know, the have empathy for people and learn things from these shows is just so important.
Well, the kids today like Invincible, and you're not getting like you're not getting Mr. Rogers in from that.
That's for sure. Oh my gosh, I had it on yesterday. My wife, I forget if it was Alicia or Carly. One of them goes, "Why is there so much gore and cussing on this cartoon show?" And I was like, "Robert Kirkman, baby."
So we just wrapped up season 2 on Prime. The Invincible animated adaptation of the Image comic book. I thought season 2 started a little slower. Like that first season, every episode was a new concept, a new villain, a new, yeah. Like it moved so fast and so, and like the second one slowed way down. But then these last few episodes, I think, picked it up a lot more. So it really paid off. So I thought season 2 ended very, very strongly.
All bangers.
Yes.
Season 1 and 2 for me. Yeah, I have no history with this character or the original comic book. All I knew was if you showed me a picture of that guy of Mark and back, you know, from a comic book, I would have said, "Hey, that's Invincible." I know nothing more than that.
Yeah.
And never read a page of it, and I think it is absolutely wonderful. This show is, you know, it's adult, sure, but man, it's been done so well.
It takes all those familiar bits.
Yes.
Like comic book, Super Friends type stuff, and then just turns them, you know, not just make them R-rated, but like matures them and makes them.
Yes.
Like, takes the concepts like, oh, there's an immortal guy. What would his life would kind of suck, you know? Yeah. So it's him dealing with grief and all the loss he's had, and Mark, you know, he's the son of this most powerful being on the planet, and it's him. He doesn't want to become his dad, and he's seeing, is he going to follow his mom's path or his dad's path? So yeah, it's really well made and complex in the right ways, but also kind of goofy and like. Yeah.
He
said through the multiverse this last episode and had some good jokes and stuff. So it's funny as well as super violent and action packed.
But even making fun of itself, you know, about everybody criticized the gap, you know, of real time in between the episodes. But then even, you know, making jokes about the animation. Oh, you know, right. Sometimes shows, you know, we cover people's mouths so we don't have to animate it and it's cheaper and costs less money. I was just like, this is amazing. So yeah, Amazon Prime, man, totally worth it. I love the that one-off episode they did with Adam Eve. Like, she's a great character. It's just, yeah, it's so complex with treating these characters as real people that just happen to have superpowers or weird things. So how the world works. It's just so good. So very happy with my TV watching here lately with the superhero stuff. Got a couple, I'll say a couple things that we've had Apple Plus here, lately, and a couple shows on there that were pretty good. My wife was really really got into them. And first one we had watched Maya Rudolph's. Maya Rudolph has a show on there called Loot, and it's about this ultra rich couple, that, you know, tech money type thing. The dude and they end up splitting up, and she has no skills, more or less. You know, she just married a rich guy, or married a guy that got rich. And had were billionaires, and it's kind of a sweet story. It's got Ron Funches in it. Love him. And it's just about she takes over one of her starts working at one of her charity organizations that exists, and she comes in and how she can help with it. It's really sweet story. It's funny. Good cast in it. The other one, newer show that just came out, Palm Springs, I think it's called, or Palm Coast, maybe. I have to look it up. But this is the Kristen Wiig new show. It's a period piece set in the 60s. Again, about rich people. She's not a rich person, but she wants to get into she has a famous rich relative through her husband.
Palm Royale,
there we go. The costuming is amazing, first of all. The hair, the outfits, I mean, they are spectacular of the era. And then, she's trying to get into this rich woman's country club, rich people club, and just on name alone and scamming her way into it. It's really neat. It's very intelligently funny writing throughout the series. It's got a great cast. And we've really been enjoying that one. I have not finished it yet, but certainly will. And I know Alicia would highly recommend that. It's a really good show for couples. Just to watch. I like Kristen Wiig, and to watch her try and find a way out, not having money and living in this world of money and fame, and they're all backbiting and grabbing for power, and it's all, you know, all about the debutantes and the big balls and events. They have fundraisers and that's how they keep their money, more or less. So very interesting.
Not quite in the fun poor genre. It's more the
definitely not fun poor. We need to come up with a word or a genre for that.
Because that's definitely every show coming out nowadays is about.
Yeah.
How terrible rich people.
Yeah, it's like bad rich or something. So definitely not fun poor. So Carly is not watching it. It's not up her alley. But those are both on Apple Plus. Good shows. Apple Plus doesn't have a lot of shows, but generally speaking, the shows on there are pretty good. I feel like they put some money into them. So you got some bigger stars for the most part. So what do you got? Anything else?
Not much. I've been checking out the Shogun, the miniseries on FX, and then next day on Hulu. That was a miniseries back in the 80s, based on a James Clavell novel. They've updated it with a bigger budget, and so I watched the first one. And liked it. And then I realized, wait, I have the book on my bookshelf. I bought it at like a library used book sale 15 years ago. But it's 1,200 pages. And I wanted to read it. I was curious. Oh,
that's like, so one, like one and a half Masters of the Universe books.
And way fewer pictures.
Right.
So if I don't read that book now when this show is on, I'm never going to read it. So I started to read it. I'm like, well, I'll just kind of read up to the next episode. And then watch. So I've never done that before. I either read the book and then watch the show or vice versa. So I'm trying to read and then watch the episode. And it's good. It's really interesting. It's very complex. I don't read those sorts of books like, you know, the Game of Thrones, you know, the big
epic
thick, you know, family. This family is feuding with this family and the dynasty of that. Like, there's a lot going on, a big cast. It spans hundreds of years. You know, you learn all this history and stuff. And that's not normally my jam, but I've been enjoying it well enough. And then, so I'm like 3 episodes in and about 500 pages into the book, and I'm not halfway done. So yeah, it's
wow.
That's been occupying plenty of my time recently. But yeah, it's really well made. The acting is great. A lot of subtitles because it's in Japanese for the most part. Except there's one English ship captain who gets stranded in feudal Japan, and it's kind of fish out of water, like him learning their ways. And again, very complex, you know, politics and this, you know, this person's against that person, but they can't, you know, they have to ally themselves with this person. So yeah, it's there's a lot going on, but it's really entertaining.
Yeah, I have haven't got into that yet. I keep seeing it pop up on my, you know, on my Hulu account over and over and over, but I'm just like, oh, Jordan's reading 1,200 page books. I can't even read the subtitles. So, yeah. So, yeah, probably the only other thing I might, you know, that might be relevant this episode coming out, very briefly, I have started watching the very much talked about Quiet on Set. About the 90s Nickelodeon Dan Schneider child molestations and nastiness, terrible things that happened, and these young kid, well, they were young kid actors, now they're adults, but have come forward and talk about their experiences and that they had, and I don't know, I mean, you've watched a little bit.
Yes, that was a little after my time. That was the Zack and Cody era.
Yeah, me too.
I'm in the Clarissa era, so it was a little different. I do remember watching all of that when it first premiered, the sketch comedy show, and thinking, because I liked Kenan and Kel. I thought they were good. And I remember Amanda Bynes coming on the show as like this super young kid who was really funny and like saying, wow, she's super talented, you know.
Yeah,
not everyone on Nickelodeon was the best actor, but so it was, yeah, I have memory of that, of like knowing Amanda Bynes as this very young kid being like, wow, she's gonna have a great career, and then it never working out that way. But so yeah, I don't know these people they're interviewing or the shows very well that they're talking about, but it's still, it's kind of disturbing and a little creepy. But
yeah, definitely creepy. I haven't watched, I've watched about the first 2.5 episodes. I haven't gotten any. They were just getting into kind of Drake Bell and his interview and talking, coming forward, his history through Nickelodeon. It was where it kind of stopped for now. Carly and I, it had come out, and we didn't have HBO there, and then we got HBO again just this week, and because we had taken a little break from that cost. But I said something to her about it, and she has actually been rewatching like old Drake and Josh episodes here for a little while. And like, that's her childhood. You know, that's my kid's stuff.
Yeah.
And I was never a big Nickelodeon watcher anyways. I mean, I watched some, especially when I was younger, but probably by the middle school age, I don't know, I just didn't watch that much of it. So, you know, we had this conversation, and she was like, pretty much said, I don't think I want to watch it, and have it ruin my childhood, which, you know, I can respect that. But then she came home a couple nights ago, and I had it on, and she was like, I thought you weren't going to watch it. And I was like, well, you were home. So, definitely terrible. You know, as far as the production itself, it's fine. Definitely the people that made this, the journalist, definitely had an intention, I feel like, the way it's presented. Because there are certain things that are shown or they talk about, and then they show the clip, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, I see what you're saying, but I'm not, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, it's a little weird to lump it all in together, where there's this powerful TV producer who's the boss, who, you know, has a reputation, you know, treats the female writers worse than the male writers.
Right.
And is a little inappropriate around the kids. And he's just kind of a creep.
Yeah.
And then there are actual predators who are, you know.
Yes.
Bringing kids to amusement parks and. you know, Mr. Dudley or whatever. Like, buying him hot dogs at a baseball game.
Yes, the bicycle man himself.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So there are two different things, and they're kind of equating it all as one thing. Like, Nickelodeon was bad.
Yeah.
It had a boss who was mean and child predator. So it's like, that's kind of, the scale's a little different. They're all bad.
Right.
But some are, you know, irredeemable.
Yeah, some are monstrous. Others are just, that creep guy I know, you know. So, yeah, definitely don't get around him or be too friendly, you know. Keep your distance type of thing. But yeah, that's the impression I pretty much have gotten out of it so far. So it's all terrible. What, you know, everything that happened. So,
but I'm also of the mind of, I don't need anybody protected. Even if I was a huge fan of this guy and his shows.
Yeah.
Drag him out into the light. If he was a creep, he needs to suffer whatever consequences.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so, and I don't know exactly, you know, they give a couple little quotes during the episodes of the statements Nickelodeon had put out, and I'm not sure, you know, they don't come off real great, but I also know, like, the head of Nickelodeon was also on, he was buddies with Dan Schneider, and they were on Head of the Class together, and I was like, I didn't even know that, like, that, you know, I had no idea that the punk rock guy from Head of the Class was also ended up being somebody too on the damn network. So yeah, I don't know. Had to bring it up.
It's definitely been talk of the internet.
Well, that was the whole thing. I probably would have completely not watched it had it not been for TikTok. And just when that thing came out, like, for 3 days, that's all I saw were TikToks and commentary about people watching these episodes as they had come out and all the terrible things and all of that. And I was just like, wow, this seems very relevant. This is what's happening right now, so...
Although that does tie into the other news that was going on this week, which Seth probably could have talked a little bit more to this because he had actually met the guy, but Ed Pisker committed suicide. Comic book artist from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Famous for Hip Hop Family Tree. He traced, like, the history of hip hop back in the old days. And he did X-Men Grand Design. So a very stylish cartoonist and also the co-host cartoonist Kayfabe, which was a YouTube channel that was hugely popular, hugely influential, had lots of big name guest stars and stuff. So they, like, he's probably more famous for his commentary, you know, talking about comics and how much he loved comics. So just a couple weeks ago, stories were breaking, some Me Too type stories that he had some inappropriate texts with a 17-year-old girl. And they brought it to light that he's some other things that, you know, inappropriate interactions and relationships with female, either fans or other people in the industry. And the scandal broke, and, like, within a week, he killed himself. So,
wow.
He wrote this very long suicide note. This was like a Google Doc that people were emailing around. Like, everyone has access to this. He was very methodical. And he named names of, you know, how crushed he was, the internet bullying that destroyed his life and ended his career, because he had a big art show that was just about to debut in Pittsburgh of his art. And these allegations came up and it got canceled.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he felt like he would never recover his reputation or his career or whatever. And his co-host ended the podcast. He ended their professional relationship. So, like, I'm sure he felt alone. So there is something to be said for the internet mob.
Yeah, sure.
And attack the way we attack people, guilty or not guilty, before, you know, we don't know the facts. We never will on any of this allegations and stuff. So, you know, these are people's lives we're dealing with. And again, I don't know, innocent or guilty, whether you think it's justified or not, I don't know. But it's a little scary, and it's beyond cancel culture. It's beyond, you know, it's that
right
mentality of, like, this person did wrong, we must sink our teeth in as much as we can, as fast as we can.
Yeah, I was there's a guy works in the same building I do, and we were having a conversation, I don't know, a few weeks ago, just kind of in passing about, you know, Mike Tyson having this big fight with Jake Paul or whatever that's coming out, 57-year-old Mike Tyson. Everybody's like, oh, you know, really excited about it. And Mike Tyson's going to, you know, he's going to kill this kid or whatever. And that kid deserves it. And he's so stupid for fighting Mike Tyson. But I'm like, I said, Mike Tyson, how easily we've forgotten, because, you know, maybe it was before cancel culture and all this stuff. Mike Tyson did some pretty bad stuff, or was accused of doing some pretty bad stuff. And I'm like, he's had a long road back, to kind of regain his celebrity, I guess. But yeah, I'm just like, yeah, he may have been lucky when he did those bad things. Wasn't the culture of today, and he wasn't, you know, eviscerated for it. So
I was talking to somebody in the shop this week about Ed, and it was like, this is also new. We don't know how to deal with this stuff. And if you are accused of something, and the internet mob gangs up on you, I can see how it would feel hopeless.
Sure.
These conditions haven't existed long enough with social media and all this stuff to know what's on the other side of that.
Yeah.
You know, can you resurrect your career 20 years from now and like look back and, okay, I made mistakes as a younger person, but blah, blah, blah. So we don't know. Like, we're still in the midst of learning how to judge this stuff.
The villagers with the, you know, pitchforks and torches at this point. So,
but again, like, those people never got caught in the past. This all happened in Hollywood, you know, bands and musicians and agents. And, you know, this all happened for decades.
Anything we ever found out about, you know, they were either long dead or so elderly that, you know. Yeah.
So, now, there've always been scandals in celebrity culture, but like we've just hit a new epoch right now of like knowing every detail, getting text messages. We get the screenshots of all this stuff, or video, or like, again, we're just in a new uncharted territory of how do you even deal with this stuff? And if you aren't guilty, how do you protest your innocence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because but if you are guilty,
we immediately
what do you
believe.
Deserve?
Yeah. The minute anything comes out, we're like, everybody, the society is a, oh my God, you know, we immediately believe whatever it is. So that's, you know, there are people out there that still think celebrities drink baby blood and all this nonsense. When people believe that, they'll believe anything. So,
and a lot of this stuff, like, it's even if it's not a crime, even if it's just a bad look or a bad, you know, you shouldn't have treated someone that way. That's even stickier. Of like, that's such a gray area of like, well,
we're all people.
I don't know, did they just get caught? Does everyone do it? And just this one person got caught. So like, or is it that they need to be made an example of so it doesn't happen to other people? Like, it's such a difficult waters to navigate, but it is sad. We lost a very talented creator over, you know, it was his own doing. So that's just a sad state. There's no winners. There's no winners in any.
Exactly. Well, maybe we'll end with this. Speaking of no winners.
Yeah. But... I was digging, trying to find a way out. Thank you.
No winners. some Disney news that's come out. We haven't talked about this stuff in a while, but basically some stuff that's been happening behind the scenes. This Trion group led by an old guy, but I think it's Nelson Peltz.
I keep seeing headlines about this stuff. I'm like, this is all too complicated. I'll just let Cliff explain it.
Yeah. So now give me a little room here, because this, I've kind of been not paying very good attention to this and just kind of gathering pieces as it goes on. But basically all of Ike Perlmutter, real life supervillain, long history with this show. We've talked about Ike for years now, almost all the way back to the beginning. But basically, all Ike's, he gave his shares to this dude. And he's been more
as
or less
like a proxy
as a serve, proxy, yes,
to do what he wanted on the board, even though he's not
to over. Get on the board. That was the goal, to take over Disney's board of directors so they could take over the, you know, hostile takeover of the company. So then they could do with it basically what they want, more or less. So, it's been ongoing for months and months and months. And finally, that the shareholder meeting was this week, and they grabbed old Ike Perlmutter and Peltz and the whole group and just threw them out the door onto their rich butts. So
Perlmutter. Perlmutter.
Once again, they've been defeated. Thank God. And, you know,
there's a bad rich sitcom I want to watch.
Yes. Yes.
I love Perlmutter.
Perlmutter.
Life with Ike. Yeah. So this has all been ongoing, and finally we got a little, at least for now, hopefully this will be the end of it. They're all like 90 years old, but I get it. I don't agree with everything the company does. I never will. You know, I don't think Bob Iger is the best dude ever and the perfect leader and all this stuff, but he's done some good stuff. You know, the things have not been great. The movies haven't, you know, made a bunch of money, and that's all stuff that's very interesting to investors. I'm not an investor. I don't give two shits about their bottom line for the most part. As long as they're still in business and running theme parks, I'm a happy guy. You know, make a cartoon, make an animated movie every once in a while and with a good story, and you got me. That's all I need. But this is all about making money, and this dude, his long history with taking over companies, piecing them out, selling off anything for parts that he could, and, you know, to make more money for investors and himself, and then walking away, and he's done. Destroy it, walk away, and, you know, you get your big payout. That's all they care about. So, so anyways, that's been happening on top of this whole Reedy Creek, Florida Tourism Board of Improvement, or whatever the hell they call it now. We had talked about several quite a while back, but the fight between Disney as a company and the state of Florida and Ron DeSantis, that he's made this big spectacle and took away Reedy Creek, and that's just been a barrage of lawsuits back and forth, just suing each other, over power. That's the bottom line. Does Disney get to do what they want, spend their money as they want, keep their own roads and emergency services, which they've done a great job with, drive around Florida and then go to the area on Disney property. And I'm telling you right now, the conditions of the roads, the sidewalks, the grounds are night and day. So, I mean, for that purpose, it's been great. But finally, this week, you know, DeSantis has dropped out of the presidential race a while ago. And as many people speculated, it was just politicizing, you know, a culture war over nothing, you know, woke Disney. I mean, come on. Freaking Disney has never been woke.
No corporation.
Right.
Corporation is, you know, they don't put woke agendas ahead of bottom line consideration.
It does not exist. So simply because Disney has a history of what they call gay days, going back to, I think, the 80s and 90s, one day a year that, you know, it was basically pride in the parks. And
which was marketing to get set to sell tickets.
Yes, like, to make money. That's exactly what it was. But, you know, again, culture wars. How dare they? So anyways, the news story is they have basically called a truce. Lawsuits have been dropped. They've come into agreement. There are new, there have been new board members appointed. because DeSantis appoints these, the state appoints these board members to this Reedy Creek, as it used to be known. So they have some new blood in there that are maybe not as terrible as the last bunch that's in there. But basically, Disney is moving forward, building, looking at expanding their parks. And the state of Florida makes money off of that because Disney is the biggest employer in the state. And of course, the tourism and all the money that people come to Florida and spend their money at. So it was, unfortunately, a lot of nonsense that just prevented progress for a couple years. So, or 4 years or however long it's been. No winners, but certainly, maybe not a defined loser either in those battles. So Iger's still here. Disney's still here as a existing company. They're not looking at selling off and being pieced out for parts. And, in fact, we're probably going to get a few new things that have been announced. So yay.
Perlmutter rides off into the sunset. I'll get you next time, Iger.
Perlmutter.
So, yeah, good stuff. That's all I got.
All right, there we go. That's an episode.
Sure.
Put that in the bank. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Yes.
Seth doesn't like it when we end the show by promoting ourselves and asking people to like and comment and
he does
patron
not.
And.
Yeah.
So we can do it as long as we want.
That's right. Tonight. We can promote it all. Go to Asylum Comics in Marietta, Ohio. It did not get flooded. It's still dry.
All our books are dry.
That's right.
Dry.
Join the Patreon. It starts at $1 a month. You get extra stuff. You get early episodes. Still working on some other projects for that. Upcoming, hopefully. I've got a new, it probably might sound a little different this week. I'm back in the house. We didn't even talk about it. I'm back in the house. I got a new setup. What used to be my daughter's room forever. She has moved on to bigger rooms after her brother moved out. And this was my wife's office the last couple of years. And we decided that we could get more use out of it. I've had all my podcast studio stuff out in the laundry room in the back of the garage for, sometime in 2020, something like that, 2021, something like that. So I've been working out there, whether it's hot or it's cold or whatever, I was suffering through it, but now we're climate controlled. We've got a new desk. That's very cool. We have a setup here. We've got a audio equipment. My wife's got a new microphone she's got set up over there. Got some new stuff, and it's a work in progress, but it's looking pretty cool. I got some Star Wars in here. I got a big Return of the Jedi poster. I got a lightsaber. Check that out. So cool stuff.
All right, that's what we got cooking from your friends at KPP. And we'll be back with more sooner rather than later. My name is Jordan Lowe.
And I'm Cliff Barnes. Goodbye forever.
Little loggers are lumbermen. Got their pets and tools with them.
Ranger Rick's got to move the log downriver.
Chops the Beaver can help.
It's Kenner's new little loggers. You can fill them with water.
Floating logs every way. Yeah, squirting water when you play.
You can collect Jumper Joe with Rocky Raccoon, too.
Timber!
Little loggers. Ranger Rick with Chops the Beaver, Jumper Joe with Rocky Raccoon. Each set sold separately. New from Kenner.
Kapow! The Pop Cultured Podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Sounds, music, and clips played during the podcast are property of copyright holders. All original content is property of www.udamwithkpp.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a comment. Kapow, the pop cultured podcast, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, and wherever podcasts can be found. You can connect with us through social media on Facebook, YouTube, at the Kapow Podcast on Twitter, or email the show, Kapow, the pop cultured podcast, at gmail.com. If you really want to go the extra mile, join our Patreon at patreon.com/udamwithkpp for special content and access to Patreon-only benefits. We are grateful for anyone who chooses to contribute, but please know that most of our content will remain free. So please continue to like, comment, and share.